the glory come, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, wonder. When the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Hang to the heavens, no man, no heaven. Born again, yes, glory is death, and it'll be ours.
Good evening, and welcome to Beyond Talk with Faith Moore McKinney. And this is a wonderful night for you to be here. I'm joined by Ms. Jacqueline Taylor Adams, our producer. She'll be on and off momentarily, I guess. On there, are you there, Jacqueline? Nope. Okay. Well, it's just us tonight. And today's topic.
I'm sorry, Faith.
That's okay.
I'm
Jacqueline.
Sorry, Faith.
How you
I
doing?
Was here.
I keep, because
I've been in the studio for so long, I have things muted and I keep forgetting and I'm just talking. I'm like, I'm here.
I don't hear you. How are you today? How are you? Sounds like everything's going pretty good.
Well, yes. Just busy trying to close this year out and get everything ready for the next year. You know, got contracts and, you know, trying to get everything set up so we can,
yeah, this
can
is
start
our last
2017
show for the year.
Rolling.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
This is our last show for the year.
Yes.
We've been on the air about, 6 months now? This is our 11th
yes.
show.
This is episode 12.
What? Time flies.
This is our 12th episode.
Let's talk about why we are on the air. You know, let's talk about the reason for Beyond Talk and what we're here to support. Who are we here to uplift with our broadcast?
All right. Well, today, you know, we're going to be talking about Schmingling. This is Schmingling Part 2, and I've asked everyone, have you ever been schmingling. So for all of you who've never been schmingling, Faith's going to tell you more about it later. But the Beyond Talk with Faith Moore McKinney is the official radio broadcast of the Black Economic and Entrepreneurship Development Conference and Expo. It is the BEEDC, and it is a year-long experience, and we function virtually, you know, as we build up and connect with our audience. It is a partnership with the Urban Tech Fair. And the BEEDC is about entrepreneurship, economic development, and what makes us a little bit different. While we do focus on the economic professionals, so economic development professionals, and a lot of you are in government, because when we talk about economic development, we're talking about city planning, region planning, national planning, how we're going to, you know, how they're going to develop the economy and various things. And for too long, most of us as African Americans are not at that table when they're doing the planning, and our communities are not thought of, not the best of our communities, when that planning is happening. So we want to make sure that we're part of it, we understand what it is, how it impacts us, and so on. But what in entrepreneurship development, for that part, we're looking for people in business, small business, 9 employees or less. If you're in business and you're just looking to develop yourself, develop a certain aspect of your business. Because what's so different about the BEEDC, our main difference is really it's an intensive. We work at it. We talk about subjects. You get to meet the presenters. So when we actually do come together in, it'll be October this year, but when we actually do come together for the live intensive, you'll know people like this, you know, meeting up with people. And, you know, our really goal is that most of the topics won't just be started there, that you would have, you know, done some prerequisite work, done some groundwork, so that when you come there for 3 days, you're going to have two and a half full days, all day Friday or all day Saturday, half day on Sunday. If you come early, it's even a half day on Thursday. That's more networking. But you will really be well-versed in whatever you're coming for. Whatever is your main thing,
absolutely,
you'll be versed in that. As opposed to going around to a lot of different sessions and getting a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So you get the opportunity to network, and we're engaging with each other already now, so even your networking will be more. You get more out of your networking.
Right.
But that's our main difference. We really want to focus on developing, because there are a lot of conferences. You know, you get motivated. You get all of these different people and all. So there's no need in reinventing the wheel. And the other thing that makes us different is we bring the community. It is the whole ecosystem. So while we want to develop the entrepreneur and we want to understand economic development, because it's really, you know, large part of that is about business development. That's 90% of economic development is real estate and business development, and how do we keep our commerce going. So the businesses really need to understand, you know, how they play their role and what's the, you know, what's the best strategies and what will be happening in their regions. But even more important, what is a business without a customer?
Exactly.
So we bring
in the
community, and there are so many of our community stakeholders, people in it, they want to help. How do we make our communities? How do we serve our businesses? I want to recycle dollars, but I don't fully know how. What's the best way to engage? So,
that's how we bring our people to the table. You know, creating a forum for us to present our ideas and our issues. And, you know, Bill Crawford, he's a former city county councilman here in Indianapolis. He said, if you don't have a seat at the table, then you're on the menu. And that means if you don't have a seat at the table making the decisions about who's getting what funds are going where, who's going to live where, what's happening in your town. If you're not at the table, then that means you're on the menu. You're going to be eaten. You're going to be eaten. It's important. It's imperative for all of us to have a seat at the table. And you know, this BEEDC conference is where it's at. This is where you start to have the dialogue and meet the people who are creating the table for us to all eat at. So,
definitely.
With that, thank
definitely.
You so
I like
much.
That.
Yes.
If you're not at the table, you'll be on the menu and you'll get
you're
eaten.
On the menu. Yes. Yes, you are on the menu. So we don't want that. We want to make sure that, you know, we have a way to get our voices heard. And, you know, no matter how
yes.
big or small your business is, you deserve to have a voice. And
yes.
and so that kind of leads me into why we have Schmingling. Are you familiar with Schmingling, Jacqueline?
Yes, I actually bought the book 2 days ago.
All
yeah,
right.
So my book should be here before the New Year's come. I should have my book.
All right.
I bought the paperback. I'm tired of the Kindles. I wanted a paperback, something I could hold and look at.
Right,
I'm tired of everything
some,
digital.
All the pages, you know. I sort of think that things are kind of going back to the more tactile, you know, books and, you know, having the whole experience. And this kind of ties into Schmingling. So Schmingling is the art of being well connected through blatant self-promotion. And, you know, I came up with that because I wanted a seat at somebody's table too. I wanted my voice to be heard, but you know, as a really, really micro small business owner, or what I thought was a business, I wanted to be seen and I wanted to be recognized as an authority. And I figured, you know, if I want that, I'm sure other entrepreneurs really, you know, kind of experimenting. Schmingling is the entire book goes through my journey of experimenting with, you know, gaining authority, gaining credibility where there was none. You know, how do you build that? And when you're a business owner, it's crucial. You have to have a trail of success for others to follow, especially on social media, so they can see what you're doing and they can grow to know, like, and trust you, which is key. You know, no matter how much we are in the digital age, you still have to know, like, and trust the person you're doing business with. So I created Schmingling in order to kind of systematize a way for people to be able to create an authority, to create credibility and create relationships and connection between other people who can help the small business owner or the person who, you know, maybe just wants a job. Create a relationship with the people that you need to be in touch with. So that's what Schmingling is, and that's why I did that. How do you want to do this? Do you want to have, like, a question answered? Do you want to – I have a few notes here, but how do you want to present this?
Well, I know last week you started I didn't get a chance yet to get my book, but you did give us a great definition of Schmingling. So I guess from let me get a little closer to make sure you can hear me better. I apologize.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, great. I guess the best way to start is, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I could be a community stakeholder, a business professional, and I want to schmingle. So, you know, what is my first step? What is my first step? What is this, you know, core things, you know, you know, what is my first step, some core things I just need to have in order. And then, you know, when I meet people, you know, how do I know who to schmingle with? Anytime I step out and interact, can that be an opportunity to schmingle? I guess
all
that's
right.
The best way
yeah,
to get
okay.
started.
Okay, well, let's I guess we'll create an avatar, somebody that we can kind of lead them on the way to schmingling. So we're gonna go with someone who, let's say, someone who has a, here, let's do this. I know someone who has a product, and it's a water purification system. I believe that's what we were talking about last time. The water purification system, and, you know, it's all done, it's all set, but nobody knows that he has this water purification system that could possibly help alleviate the problem of polluted water all over the world. You know, we have millions of people who don't have clean water. And we have one person who is here in the Midwest who has a solution, but nobody knows who he is. That's a problem. So let's think about who this person, let's call him, we're going to call him Phil. Let's say Phil is a business owner, inventor. He has this product that could possibly, alleviate a lot of the world's problem with polluted water, but nobody knows who he is. So what we need to do with Phil is, let's say, Phil, who could use your product? And we're going to pretend like your product is a job or your skills or, you know, your talent. You can kind of interchange Phil's product with a service or with a skill that you wanted to deliver. So kind of put yourself into that position. So Phil has a product that could be used by, let's say, survivalists. So people who are those who want to live off the grid, you know, those who want to live off of just the land itself, and they don't want to have to depend on, you know, government utilities, water, electricity, none of that. So they want to depend on solar energy, solar power, you know, everything from the earth. And there's a huge market for that. There's a huge niche of people who are survivalists. Now, what Phil could do if he wants to market to the survivalists is, let's say he wants to talk to the leading survivalists, the people who are leaders in that space. So how would he connect with those? Well, first he could look up online and find the people who are the thought leaders in the survivalist space. And you're going to look that up, and let's say it's Merle Haggard. He used to play who was Merle Haggard? He was Grizzly Adams, right? But we'll just say Merle Haggard is the thought leader in the survivalist space. So here Phil is, and here's Merle Haggard. Now, how does Phil get in touch with Merle? Well, Merle is probably on some kind of social media, even though he's not really trying to get on the grid. He's probably on some social media because he wants to stay in touch with the people he's trying to help. You know, how is he staying in touch? Through Twitter, Instagram, possibly. And if he's not on those sites, let's say he is at a conference. So how do people know who he is? Well, they have conferences. And conferences are a really great place to interact with thought leaders, with leaders in a particular industry. So we're going to go back to the social media aspect of connecting with Mr. Merle Haggard. What Phil's going to do is do his research on Merle Haggard. He's going to find out, any other podcasts that he was on. He's going to listen to those. He's going to find out a lot more intimate details about Merle, so that he can connect with him when he corresponds. He's going to check out his Instagram, check out his Facebook page, check out any blogs that he's written, any books that he's written. make sure that he has an intimate knowledge of this man that he wants to connect with. A lot of times people who have businesses or ideas, they want to reach out to someone they think can help them. Well, you can reach out to them, but if you don't know who they are, if you don't know what buttons to push with them, you know, you don't know what makes them tick, what they like, they're really not going to try to help you. This goes for reporters. This goes for thought leaders. This goes for leaders in industry and really anyone that you're trying to reach out to. If you want somebody to help you, you know, do some research. You know, see what they want. You know, see what makes what they like. And it'll go a long way in their corresponding back. If they know that you've done your research, they will more than likely respond to your initial request.
You know what I like to say right there?
Sure.
Say right just before you move on. I like to let everybody know, listening is the biggest skill, or is the one skill you want to acquire no matter what you do. The best part of sales is listening. A person will always tell you how to sell them. And that's basically what you're saying. You need to listen. And, you know, if you're in a conversation, you listen to what a person is saying. But people speak when they write. They have websites. It amazes me. I'm a marketing professional, just to let people know. I'm a business and marketing strategist. So I develop sponsorship. But it amazes me how people tell me who they want to sponsor their event. And it's like, well, do they even sponsor your type of entity? Well, I want, you know, it's all about, you get all into you what you want. And it's really about them. It amazes me when people have public websites, that people do not go to the websites, they do not look up the company, and almost every professional company will tell you what they're about, their marketing objectives, and their outreach, which are two different things. I don't need to go into that. But they give you all the information right on their website. You might have to look for it for a moment, but it's not like it's secret information. So sometimes you wonder why people are non-responsive, because just by the mere what you say proves you have not taking it time or energy to look them up, learn anything about them, because they can just tell by what's coming out of your mouth.
Yep.
Because if you did, you would probably choose other words.
That's true. And, you know, one of the best ways I you know, piggybacking off of what you said, I learn about people through podcasts merely because when you're listening to the person's inflection of their voice. They're telling stories, mostly intimate stories that they won't or don't share in their books or in other arenas. You find someone who does great interviews consistently. I like Jordan Harbinger, The Art of Charm. He does really in-depth interviews, and he brings out a lot of details that you wouldn't be able to find or glean any other way. And I use these details to connect with the guests. So, for instance, one of his guests was, I think I mentioned last week, Brian Smith. He's the founder of the UGG Boots. Did you know the founder of UGG Boots? He's from Australia. And I heard his interview.
Okay.
And I reached out to him on LinkedIn. And he responded. And it's like, wow, this is great. So Brian Smith of UGG Boots responded to my LinkedIn. So we were connected there. And then a woman named Linda Clemens, she's a world-renowned, world-famous speaker. She brought Brian Smith, the founder of UGG Boots, to Indianapolis just a few months ago. And so I actually got to interview him in person, which is really great. And so that's a great way to meet and connect with him. So now any other time that I want to, you know, say, hey, Brian, how are you? I can just bring up our picture and say, hey, you remember me. You know, taking pictures of people when you're with them is a great way to jog their memory and let them know that, oh, yeah, you're not just some complete stranger. We had, you know, this time at this conference, or we had this time at this, you know, event, so that they're, you're not starting from square one. But so let's get back to, you know, the Phil and the Merle story. So he still connected with Merle on LinkedIn or social media, and he found out details by reading and listening and following everything Merle does. So now Phil can approach via social media, and my favorite way is LinkedIn, because, I mean, believe it or not, people really do respond on LinkedIn. So, you know, that is really a great way to send out an initial contact. Twitter is another great way. Celebrities especially will respond on Twitter. So if there's something you want to connect with on a different level with the celebrity, you know, Twitter is a great way. Just make sure you do your research. Make sure you have something that they actually want and that they can actually use. A lot of times people will and they do me, people come to me with the craziest request, Jacqueline, I'm telling you. Do your research, please. So here's a funny story. I'm a correspondent, a contributor for CNN. It's online, and I just do, you know, PR type things, you know, nothing really heavy. Well, when I first put out that I am a contributor to CNN, I got a bunch of calls from different people all over the country, you know, telling me these horrible stories. This one woman told me a story about her ex-husband, how he's cruel, how he needs to be in jail for doing all kinds of things, and could I write a story about it? And I'm like, well, no, that's not what I write about. You really need to, you know, keep your personal life, you know, don't air your dirty laundry, for one. But she had no idea what I wrote about. She didn't do any research on me other than finding out that I'm a contributor. So, you know, there was nothing I could do. So don't make sure mm-hmm. you search for people. I'm sure you get that a lot too. But that's key. Connecting. And then also following up. So let's say Phil went to a conference, a survivalist conference, and he met all the leaders in the survivalist field, all the people who could possibly promote his product. So he got a picture with them. I love getting pictures. And if nobody's there to take your picture, do a selfie. Just take a selfie with that person and then send them a card. I love send-out cards. Are you familiar with send-out cards, Jacqueline?
Yes, yes. Everybody raves about them. I know a lot of people use them. Lots.
Oh, yeah. I love them. I love send-out cards. So send them a physical card. And this is getting back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, people actually wanting to touch things, you know, a book, something to hold in their hand. If they have a picture of or a card with their picture on it, they won't throw it away. They'll always see your face next to theirs, and they'll keep it. So, you know, make sure you send them a card and let them know that you enjoyed meeting them, where you enjoyed meeting them, and, you know, something that you admired about them. And then keep it up. Don't just do it once. Do it maybe two or three times. Hey, you know, just thinking about this moment, or maybe not that, that's kind of creepy. You know, maybe a happy birthday or a happy anniversary, something that's specific to them. And by the way, schmingling does take time, just like any other relationship building activity. So don't think it's going to happen overnight. It usually doesn't. It's over time. It's like planting seeds. A lot of times you hear about people saying they're planting seeds. Well, it is. It's planting seeds all of the time just so that when you need it, you can cultivate it and you can, you know, go back and use those. But, you know, if you have a product, you don't necessarily have the time to, you know, plant the seed. You need something now. You need to activate those seeds now. So that's when you kind of want to, you use the relationships you have cultivated. You know, you ask those people to introduce you to those who you might not have access to. Now, when you, and this isn't even in the book, Jacqueline, this is something extra because these are the things, these are the lessons I've learned. Whenever you are referred to someone or whenever you're referring someone, that is an extension of you. You want to make sure that you treat that person with the utmost respect. You want to make sure that, you know, whatever you do for the person that, whatever that person does to you that has been referred to you, you want to show gratitude and, you know, just treat them with so much, with a lot of respect because it's a reflection on the person who introduced you. If they don't follow up, get your product done or get what they say they're going to do done on time, it's a reflection on them. So you want to make sure whoever you refer is good enough to bear your name because your name goes along with that. Don't refer someone that you really don't know. And if you do refer someone that you don't really know, make sure that's clear. Let them know, hey, I don't know them very well. I haven't used them, that I know that they are in your industry, so you might want to connect. You know, make sure it's clear that you don't have a history with that person, and that way it won't reflect on you so glaringly. But back to schmingling, we want to make sure when you schmingle, follow-up is key. Follow-up, they always say fortune is in the follow-up, and that is true. Send the cards, send an email, even pick up the phone and make a phone call. Hey, how you doing? You know, great article. Here's a way to keep track and keep up with people who are often in the news. There are, there's a man, his name is John Levy, and he lives in Manhattan, and he has these parties called Influencers Dinners. And at his dinners, they're only, it's an invite only. He plans them months in advance, and he has people who are maybe Nobel Prize winners, celebrities, musicians, just, you know, people that he would all, you know, you would just love to meet. And he has these dinners, you know, a few times a year. And I heard an interview that he did on The Art of Charm with Jordan Harbinger that I mentioned earlier. He was also featured in the New York Times, and he's been, you know, he's an author, and he's kind of a big deal. Well, I wanted to get in touch with him, so I did. I connected with him on LinkedIn, and I emailed him and tweeted and all of this. And so we began to, you know, tweet back. I even sent him a video. Now, whenever I see his name pop up on Google Alerts, and I'll explain that later in just a second. Whenever I see his name pop up on Google Alerts for an article that was written about him, I'll say, hey, you know, great article in whatever publication it was in. You know, keep up the good work or something like that. And he'll say, oh, thank you so much. You know, he'll respond, how's it going? And so we keep the dialogue going that way. So Google Alerts is a great way to keep an eye out on what people are doing so that you don't have to keep, you know, wondering or keep, you know, reading every single paper. Google Alerts is on your Google. Help me out, Jacqueline. Google it. It's a way for you to put in the name of a person. Go ahead, Jacqueline. You know how to explain it, don't you?
No. Okay. Now, what were you saying? Because moving around and sometimes my move, I was having a little hard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
After the Google alert, you were saying.
Yeah. I was just explaining the Google alert. What a Google alert is, how it works.
There it is. Yeah, well, okay. Google alert just works as it's like a trigger. What you do, you look for keywords. Like I have a Google alert on ceasefire. I was doing some work with a young woman now, because she's in college. But she heads up the youth division for the National Action Network, and she's been doing it since she's about 10 years old. And she's doing a nonviolence 90-day ceasefire. So I wanted to see whenever something came up around that, or, you know, if news and all was coming up about that. So I would just Google alerts, and all you do is input the keywords, whatever those keywords that would trigger that. Also was doing a campaign, a Pepsi challenge, which was, you know, attempting to win money for a client of mine. We did Google alerts around that to see whenever, you know, that will come up. Just anything.
Right.
I've done Google alerts around poetry. Because I'm looking to develop certain things in poetry. And so I've done Google alerts around, you know, poetry things. I know a lot of people really, you know, PR people really, really do use the Google alerts.
Oh,
and there's
a
news service.
Yeah.
It's called News, N-E-S-L-E. I don't know if it's N-E-W-S. N-E-W-S, news.L-E, Newsly. And it works along with LinkedIn. So what happens, all my friends on LinkedIn, whenever somebody comes up in the news, it shows me on my LinkedIn feed.
Hmm.
So and I get a, you know, message in my Gmail, because that's what I use for my LinkedIn. So any one of my friends, any network, whenever they come up in the news, so it could be a local Philly paper, it'd be a blog, Microsoft. Apparently, somebody at Microsoft is in my network. The CEO.
Oh, wow.
Because lately I've been, every time I keep getting. Microsoft feed, so-and-so is in the news. So I know the only time that notice that I get who's in the news, that's through my Newsly feed. So I can go back, say, like people that I really, you know, if I know local people, congratulations, good luck. You can respond accordingly. Again, it's just information, knowing what they're doing, what's important. And so I've been, like, sharing certain things on the Microsoft. I found out where Microsoft is having all of their conferences, but they've done a restructuring for the year. They've done a restructuring. And I know Microsoft is one of the people we want to work to get a sponsorship. And 2 years ago, Microsoft message was very muddled, and found out they were going through a transition. Right before, when Windows 10 came out, their messaging was muddled. It was hard to see. You just couldn't find a tagline.
They were
knowing.
Yeah,
it's just different products. You got Windows 10 over here, like all these different products, but there was no unifying messaging. So it was really kind of hard to do the research to make the proposal, you know, and there are different divisions and things. So certain things, certain people, they were looking to do certain things, but then, you know, they weren't really looking. That was more community-oriented. And really wasn't the funds we wanted. But since then, because actually I did, when we did send something, we talked about, you know, a message and messaging. We could support them in that. But since then, they've come out with very clear messaging. I know they were going after the VR, the halogen. We knew that's what they were working on. I guess they were having some issues, and I guess they needed for the Windows 10 to come out and actually be successful, maybe. And maybe they were just, I think positions were transitioning. So I've actually been following that Microsoft story, and
that's why it's kind of important, and sometimes it even makes you understand. So now I just have a much clearer idea of truly where they want to go, because I've been reading up on them. And you really, I just think it's really important. Everything you're saying is so important, and that's almost in all aspects of your life, not just business. But
mm-hmm.
whenever you
Absolutely.
Want something from someone, because marketing is just like having a relationship. You don't always take everybody to a 5-star dinner. Sometimes you might take them down to Mickey D's. Sometimes you might wine them and dine them. You have different experiences and interactions. But
yeah.
the one thing I know, I always hate somebody that's supposed to be my friend or know me or want to get to know me. I can tell clearly from whatever they say, they don't have a clue as to who I am. And that is very, very annoying. And in business,
yeah.
I have time for it. I'm too busy. When people ask me to do this network marketing thing, that all you got to do is go to my profile. I tell you everything I do, which is about 50
yeah.
million things. So what makes you think I want to sell, Tracy Lynn jewelry? I mean, it's
yeah.
just so unconnected from anything that you say you do.
Great.
And they just go off with their spiel. And I know the industry, so this is a total industry spiel. They don't ask me anything. They go, hey, how you doing? I'm looking for people in case you want to. And, I'm looking for higher people. Did you see what I, what makes you think I would want you to hire me?
Exactly.
It just doesn't make sense compared. And you can clearly see through those things, and those are people I shut down right away. I was like,
yep.
It's pretty rude. I was like, if you really want to know, go back, read my profile, and then coach me with something
mm-hmm.
that's going to help me do what you can see I do on my profile. If you can show me how your opportunity will help me get to what I have stated are my goals, or what you
mm-hmm.
can see are my goals, I'm willing to listen to you.
And that's for
everybody. You know how many people ignore that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What does Oprah always say? All people want to do is be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So if you
just
don't acknowledge
heard.
That you hear a person, yeah, they just want to be heard. And you can do that in any way. So everything you're saying, the follow-up, saying thank you, those are little
mm-hmm.
things. Like, I'm literally cutting out a lot of people. And not that they're not good people, interesting business people, but, I do a lot, not that I do so much, like this one guy, he's really great, love his art, love his creativity, but he's so focused on what he does, and he doesn't really support anybody, or he deems who he wants to support, but he's not afraid to consistently ask. And, where I, donate a little bit every month. I even got the final call, which I don't really read. Sometimes the final
mm-hmm.
call is a good read, but I don't want a subscription. But it helped. And I know he was a righteous brother. And so whatever I could do, help him and his family, okay, what you're doing now, here you go. Because I really can't get out, this is one of these performing artists. I don't get out normally like I used to because of, I care for my mother. So I do, sometimes I buy tickets, I'll give them away. I do that for people because I can't really come out. And,
mm-hmm.
Most people appreciative, but this guy consistently for over a year, probably almost 2 years, consistently asks me every time he's doing something, consistently posts on my page, consistently asks, and everything I've asked him to do, he has not yet done one thing.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And it's like, okay. Yeah, so it's like, people don't, they don't
it's
quite get
not,
it.
Yeah.
And
you know what? Here's
becomes,
the thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, as far as going back to people and relationship skills. So, we have the social media, we have access to everyone and everything practically, but when it all boils down to is really, you know, just being heard one person at a time. You can't mass, you can't put out a blast for caring. You have to do it one person at a time. You have to give. You have to, you know, when you ask for something, you have to be willing to give something. And that's so true, you know, especially, you know, in business. When people get into these multi-level marketing businesses, they're so excited. They're so zealous and overzealous that they think that what they have is the cure-all for everything that ails you. But they don't even know you. They don't know what you do. They don't know that, you know, you can't really travel. You can't really, you know, you can't get out like you used to. And I'm in the same position. So, you know, what do I need really with to be long to a travel club? You know, it's a burden for me. So, you know, if you know that about me, you would offer me something that I could use. You know, maybe rest here, something like that. But, yeah, it gets back to knowing the person, to doing your research and finding out exactly what it is that makes that person, makes them tick, what helps them out. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
And I think the one other thing.
That. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think the one other thing that works is what you do, whether you may state it or not. When you do things from a heart of service, and if you really look at all of the big gurus, the mentors, from the Tony Robbins to the Zig Ziglars, all of those people, they will always come from a heart of service.
Because
we think, I got something to sell, I just want to go sell it. It's not about knocking somebody over head and making them take it. It's about how can I help you?
Right.
So even in your product or service development, which is still your product if your product is a service, in your product development, you have to know what pain this solves. What pain does this calm? What pain does this heal? You have to know what is the pain point, who's the person, what's the problem, and how are you helping? So when you look at that, if I'm developing a relationship, instead of like, don't get so anxious because it shows. You know, I'm a person that does sales, and when you do sales, you read people. So it may not necessarily be for everybody, but at this point in time, as old as I am, you know, I read people right away. But when you're too anxious, or hot men, how do you say it when a woman's thirsty? Sometimes you can tell when that person's thirsty, you know? And you're too anxious.
Don't
so you got, it's
thirsty.
Just like, yeah, when you make a call on the phone, you smile. Even though that person can't see you, that smile comes through. So
that's
you got to
right.
make sure what your intent is, because that will come through and the person feels like, oh, you're just trying to sell me, just trying to, you know. And it's not that people mind being sold, because people buy things every day, but they don't want to feel like they're being gotten over on. So if you look
and
like, how can I help you?
Sold.
And also with that thought in mind, you think of things just, you know, like, I told you we spoke and I started, you know, a sponsorship course, because it's always continuing ed. We're doing all of our fields. And so I found one that I felt was worthy and affordable. And let's say, belong to a LinkedIn group. I belong to a lot of, you know, groups in the industry. And that's where I first, you know, saw the opportunity. And he posted something in the feed. I guess he did an update, LinkedIn update. And you're right, everybody. LinkedIn is the place to be if you want to do business as far as a social network. LinkedIn is responsive. So he just did a post about, you know, he's giving away an e-book, you know, a book, whatever, giving away a book on sponsor. If you want a book about sponsor templates, whatnot. And he just did a post. It probably, I guess, probably just came up. A couple of people maybe had liked it, and I made a comment. I recommend.
I got the book, and the book was so good that I've signed up for the course.
Oh, wow.
You know, he gives great relevant information. Two lines, and he came right back and said and replied, "Thank you. That's so awesome, Jackie." And he replied like that. So he'll probably notice that I sent him an email because I missed the coaching session when I first came in. So now Lee Green, he's the founder of the National Black Business Trade Association. He passed on a few years ago, and the association is not around, but he's one of our history makers we need to learn about, named Lee Green. But Lee always said, it's not about who you know, it's who knows you.
Yep.
And what are they thinking?
That's
what impression
key.
Did you leave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
so
why it's so
now
important.
Now when you
that's
see my
why...
name,
mm-hmm.
it'll be on the positive thing. So if I go to ask them a question, you know, I'm not like 100 people out the class maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And you know, that's why it's so important in Schwingling. That is the crux of it. You know, it's not who you know. It's who knows you. And that's when you build that know, like, and trust online and via sending cards and emails and, you know, keeping up with the people. When they know you, when they know that you know them and they begin to know you, then...
Yeah.
You can say, hey, you know, I'm working on this because you know that it's already aligned with what they're doing. Then you can take it a little further. But don't take advantage of it, you know, just like any friendship or any relationship. But it's one step at a time. And, yeah, you're right, Jackie. It's who knows you and getting on their radar. It just takes time and it takes a system. And so what I've created is more of a system on how to stay connected, how to build those relationships and plant the seeds that you really need to create. But, yeah, this is really good
So how
stuff.
Can they get the book? How can everybody be like
oh,
me?
Oh, how can you get Schwingling, the Art of Being Well Connected? Well, Schwingling is on Amazon.com. And you can check it out under Schwingling, or you can get it on Kindle. And if you want, go ahead.
It's also available, like, if you look up if you go over to Blog Talk Radio, Master Griot Radio, you'll see the description. The link is available there, and we will have it on the Beyond Talk website that you can just click on a link and go to Amazon. And what else did you say?
Cool. Yeah. So I was going to say that I've done some different events around Indianapolis this past few months, and I have a couple of extra copies. So if you want an autographed copy, you can send me a message, send me an email at faith@faithmckinney.com, and I can send you an autographed copy. But yeah, on Amazon or through our website here on the station or on Kindle.
Okay.
And you know
so
what?
Is there going to
really
be a New Year giveaway? Is there going to be a New Year giveaway that we can post? Is it the first person, the third person, or what? You know, can we make that a New Year giveaway?
Sure. Well, I'll let you decide. We'll give away. We'll give away two. So, you decide.
Okay, we'll give away two then. Great. Well, we give away one on Friday, which is Day of Kwanzaa, Cooperative Economics Day, UJIMA. So we're going to give away, we'll give away one on Friday and then one on New Year's Day. So the New Year's
all
will
right.
start off. And so,
wonderful way to start off a new year. So we have a few minutes, Jacqueline. You know, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I don't necessarily know resolution. You know, always working to be better. I do. You know, I have realized that I'm, like I said, I'm realizing relationships that are of value and aren't of value for me. And it doesn't necessarily mean the people, you know, aren't good people, but I'm realizing I have a lot of relationships that are very one-sided. And I'm getting, mm-hmm. you know, really focused. I'm just, you know, getting real focused. I think my thing is, and my one resolution for myself is to publish. Even one of my
oh.
church members told me, I see a novel. Girl, I can't wait for you to write. I didn't plan on writing no novel like that. But people have been asking me to write on marketing. And I have a few things midway. So my commitment
mm-hmm.
through the month of January, every week I'm going to publish something. So I have articles right now on LinkedIn that I haven't finished that I just have to finish up. So that, you know, they read the way I want. I mean, I have, I don't know how many articles and blog posts, you know, written, because whenever I have an idea, I write things down. So I have a journal that I have of things. But things, I said for the month of January, every week I will publish something. So
all
right.
That's a good one.
Is to kick off the year publishing and really work on publishing. So I manifesting is still my theme. It's the abracadabra.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means. But manifesting is still my theme. I'm just, you know, looking to manifest, and you know, I've come a good ways. You know, I really got real focused for 2016. And sometimes, and always see the there's gold in a lesson, even though things may not pan out the way you wanted them to in your mind. It doesn't mean it didn't pan out well. So I
right.
know there were good lessons. And again, when you reach out correct in the right way, you're establishing groundwork. And so I'm excited because I met you in 2016, Faith, and you have been just phenomenal.
Yes.
Another
oh
LinkedIn. You and Jason.
Well, you know, mingling. Now, okay, quickly, I'm going to tell you how I met Jason. I wanted to get into a book or a magazine. I wanted to have somebody do a story about me. But then I saw that somebody did a story on Jason. It was the Indiana Minority Business Quarterly Magazine here in Indiana. And it was Jason's
mm-hmm.
book. And I said, wow, how did he get in there? So I read the article, and then I saw his contact information at the bottom of the article, and I emailed him. And I said, hey, great article. You know, how did you get in? And so we started corresponding from there, and I, you know, would you know, stay in touch over the months or even over a year. And then
mm-hmm.
presented the opportunity to, then I met you, and then you told me what you were doing. I said, oh, that sounds pretty good. You know, that sounds cool. You know, he knew I was in the business realm because that's where we bonded. And so that's
and
how
then
we
when we
started.
Came up with the idea to do a radio show, when it first, you know, it's like, hey, what about Faith? And you were, like, real responsive, like, hey. So it's just being open on people's radar. Sometimes you don't necessarily know how a relationship will pan out. And just
mm-hmm.
like Jason and I were, you know, part of the Urban Tech Fair, and I knew him on social media. You know, we networked. I don't know if it was necessarily heavy, but we did network. And he knew I did marketing. So when his book came out, he said, I need some help with marketing my book. So I wrote the press release that got that article. So,
oh, wow.
You know, we never, yeah, you know, I wrote a press release. I put together, well, we were attempting to get him some book signings, and one person, I wrote the press release, we distributed, he actually had found a new service. I gave him a couple of tweets, but he had found a new service, and he got on Fisk University Radio. He got the article, and he got a book signing up in Chicago. So it was like,
And then I really do know the book industry. I used to sell books. And then, I don't know, I guess because I do marketing PR, sell books, I was always at conferences. So, but like Maria Dowell, the few people, when they come to Philly, I've helped them. And I, since I used to sell books, I know how the book industry has changed. And I know what the bookstore is looking for. It's like, it's not as easy necessarily to get book signings now. They really want to know, are you going to bring people? Or you may get the book signing, but will they order your book?
Yep.
And so you kind of look at distribution a little differently.
Industries. Yeah, that's across
well,
all industries.
Well, it changed a little. Yeah, see, and music changed. See, I don't know if it's all just technology, but the industry's definitely changed. Because before, they used to just, whatever books come out, they just order them, just get them. And a lot of them just would sit there. So unless they're major ones coming from the major publishing houses, a bookstore is not going to, or even if you have an ISBN, they're not going to order your book.
Mm-mm.
So they may let you do a show, but still, if they do that, they don't even want to invest in your book unless they know, just for that show, unless they know some books are going to come. So they may ask you to bring some books because they're not sure if they want to invest yet. So
yep.
You have to, when you're doing your book signing strategies, you have to find a way to bring people to that establishment and have to get people coming here asking for your book. Now, once people ask for it, they're glad to order it.
Yep.
So
absolutely. TV too. Well, I said it works for TV too. You know, if you have, let's say you have a segment on a news show. You know, they're talking about your book. One way to get back on that show, if you want to, get a few of your friends, like 10 of your friends, to email the stations, email the producer of that show, and let them know how much you enjoyed that particular segment. And what you learned, you know, something that lets them know that you actually did watch it. Then email them. And it helps them, it helps the producer, it helps the station, because they have to prove that they have a viewership. And when they have a response like that, they'll get that person back on because they know they have an audience. So just doing those type of things will get you back on television. And it worked for me. So I know it'll work for others. But
no, you're
anyway,
exactly right.
We are over
this day and age.
Right
it really
now.
Is about it. Oh yeah, but this day and age, it really is about people get you in a place, but you have to invest in getting people to those entities. So I'm glad to learn about Schmingling. I can't wait for my book because you. I had to sit down and just listen to the last show for all the good ideas that you had.
I'm so appreciative. Thank you for letting me share Schmingling. You know, when you get your copy of the book, you'll see some of the pictures of the celebrities that I was able to get access to just through Schmingling. So, those things I teach in the book. But, you know, thank you for allowing me to share Schmingling on Blog Talk. On Beyond Talk with Faith Moore McKinney, and thank you for being a wonderful, wonderful co-host and producer. And have a fantastic new year.
Yes, you have, everybody have a fantastic new year, have a fantastic week, and we just speak greatness for you in this new year. So whatever is you, the best of you, that's what we speak for the new year. So remember, just go to beyondtalk.beedconference.org. If you go there you'll be able to see the giveaway. Just give me about half a day, give me about 12 hours to get it up, and I'm going to post up the giveaway so that you can sign up and give away. And if you don't want to wait, where can they email you?
Faith@faithmckinney.com.
Okay.
So faith@faithmckinney.com. If you want to just email her right now, you can do that. And but we'll post on a website and we'll post through social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yep.
So have a great day. Thank you, Faith.
You too. Thank you. Everyone right. Have a happy new year and a safe and healthy one. We'll see you in the new year. Good night.